Well, this morning we're going to look again at a selection of verses from the book of Proverbs. Over the summer I've just done a couple. Did one on friendship from Proverbs, speech, that was last week, and today the topic of listening. My plan is we're off on holiday tomorrow for a couple of weeks, and then when I get back we'll hopefully, God willing, start a series on the book of Daniel. So today we'll spend some time in Proverbs. And they're printed on your service sheets. So let me read the word of God, and you follow along as I do so. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. Amen. And so ends the reading in God's word. How well do you listen? Boys and girls, are you good listeners? Adults, are you good listeners? Listening ought to be very easy if you think about it. You just sit down and listen to someone talking to you. But often we find listening very hard. For example, has someone ever been talking to you and you've suddenly realized that you're not listening to a word they're saying? Has your mind ever wandered when you're in the classroom and your teacher is teaching, or when you're in church and the preacher is preaching? Has someone ever interrupted you and finished the sentence that you are speaking before you can get to the end of it? Have you ever interrupted someone and finished the sentence for them before they can get to the end of it? Listening ought to be very easy. It really ought to be. But it is perhaps one of the hardest things to do, or to do well. We find speaking easy. Most of us do anyway. But we find listening that much harder. But if you want to be wise, according to the Bible, according to the book of Proverbs, if you want to be wise, you need to listen. You need to keep quiet and listen. There is great wisdom in keeping quiet and listening, not talking the whole time. That's what these proverbs teach us, the wisdom of listening. But listening to what, you might ask? Well, first of all, listening to advice. That's my first point. You need to listen to advice. Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. If you want to be wise, which surely you do, then you need to listen to what others say. You need to listen to their advice. Why? Very simply, because you do not know it all. You don't know it all. I know some of you are very, very clever. You've got a PhD, or you're in the middle of doing a PhD. You're in high-flying jobs. Whatever it might be, the people of Cambridge or Oxford were very clever. But you don't know it all. In fact, you know very little. And even the cleverest people are sometimes the most foolish people of all. You do not know it all. You do not have the insight that someone else might have. So listen to what others have to say. Seek out their advice. Seek out their advice on a whole range of important matters, such as which school, which university, which college should I go to? Which job should I take? What church should I attend when I move away? Whom should I marry? How should I spend my money? How should we raise our children? The list could go on. Listen to the advice of others. Do not just listen to yourself. The point is this: you, as a Christian, as someone who hopefully aspires to be a wise Christian, you must be teachable. rather than opinionated, teachable rather than opinionated. That's hard. That is hard, isn't it? We love to speak. We love to tell people what we know, or at least what we think we know. We can be so very, very opinionated about all sorts of matters, even about matters about which we know very, very little. Still, we can offer all too quickly our opinion. Be teachable rather than opinionated. Be humble. You do not know everything. You do not know everything. You need the advice of others. You are just a creature. You are a finite creature. You have limited understanding. We all have limited understanding. We need others to instruct us, to teach us, to give us advice. I think of Moses and Jethro. I know I used this example when I was speaking about friendship, but I think it applies equally here. You remember the episode, Exodus chapter 18. Moses is judging everything. Every matter is being brought before Moses. And he has his work cut out. And Jethro, his father-in-law, comes along to him and says, Moses, if you keep on, I'm paraphrasing here, if you keep on doing this, then you're going to run yourself into the ground. You're going to have a breakdown. You need others. You need other wise men to be judges, to sort out some of these less important cases. You can't do it all yourself. And Moses, in his wisdom, listens to that wise advice of Jethro. Do you listen? Let me ask you, do you listen to the advice of others? Or do you just nod when someone's speaking, giving you advice, and yet it's not going in at all? Husbands, do you listen to your wife? Wives, do you sometimes listen to your husband? Children, do you listen to the advice of your parents? Your parents know more than you. Your parents are wiser than you. You will grow up, we pray, we hope, to be wise boys and girls, wise men and women. But at the moment, you need to listen to your parents. Listen to their commands, obey them. Listen to their advice. Don't just ignore them. Young people, you don't know it all. When I was younger, I thought I knew it all. And then I came here to study and I realized with quite a shock that I did not know it all. In fact, I knew very little. Young people, you need to listen to the advice of older people. People who have been around the block. People who have more maturity. Older people, sometimes you might need to listen to younger people. What if you don't? What if you don't listen to the advice of anyone else? What does the Bible say about you? The Bible calls you a fool. That's the verdict of the Bible on those who do not listen. The Bible calls you a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. A fool doesn't think that he needs to listen to others. A fool thinks he knows it all. He's proud. He's arrogant. And in his proud refusal to listen to others, what does he manifest? He manifests his folly, not his wisdom. He has no wisdom. Friends, you do not know it all. You are a finite creature. Be humble, be wise, be teachable. Listen to the advice of others. And listen to the advice of many others. This is my second point, related quite closely to the first. Listen to the advice of many. Proverbs 11, verse 14, you can see it on your sheets. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There are other proverbs like this one as well. Of course, it's speaking particularly about the political sphere. A wise king or a wise leader will surround himself with counselors. But it applies, I think, just as much to our own personal private lives. You need many counselors. Especially when you are making a big decision. You don't need many counselors to decide what to have for breakfast in the morning, but you do need many counselors when you're making a big decision. Now, you need to balance this, This isn't an excuse for indecisiveness. Sometimes you can consult and consult and consult because you don't want to make a decision. You just want to put it off. The government does that all the time. We don't want to make a hard decision. We'll have a public consultation. Another one, another one. We'll kick it into the long grass. And we can do that as individuals. We can constantly seek advice, 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 because we just don't want to make a decision. And yet, we need to guard against the opposite error, and that is being impulsive. Too many of us can be impulsive. We can rush into making a big decision, without seeking the advice of anyone, let alone many counselors. You need the counsel of many people. People from a range of backgrounds. People with a range of outlooks. If you just consult one or two people, you're likely to consult your friends, people that you get on very well with. And they'll, not always, but they'll often give you advice that, in a sense, you yourself would give to yourself. You need to spread the net. Seek counsel from a wide range of people. Consult people who are not like you, who are different from you. And you say to me, well, where do I find such people? And I say to you, here they are. They're here in the church. This is one blessing of being in church, in a church. There are a number of people here. We are from a range of backgrounds and cultures and outlooks. We're all one in Christ, but we're different, aren't we? And we need one another. We need the help of one another. So do not be backward in coming forward, as it were, and seeking the advice, the counsel of people in the church. Make use of your fellow church members. When you're faced with a big decision, ask a number, don't ask everyone, but ask a good number of people. And then use their advice. Think about it. Pray about it. That is the way of wisdom. I don't mean to embarrass him, but I think this is what Andy did with the Oxford church plant. Andy didn't just wake up one morning and think, I want to plant a church in Oxford. I'll go ahead and do it. He sought advice from his wife, from close friends, from his elders, from other Christians in this country and in other countries as well. And on the basis of that, decided that the Lord was leading him to plant a church in Oxford. And there is safety in that. In an abundance of counselors, there is safety. I think about that in terms of us as elders as well. Obviously, there are certain non-negotiables when it comes to the office of elder. You need to meet the requirements, as Paul lays them down in 1 Timothy 3. But wouldn't it be good for us as a church to have elders who are different from one another, who come from a range of backgrounds, who see things slightly differently, who, to use jargon, which I don't really like, but I'll use it anyway, who think outside the box a little bit. We need that. I need that, Donald, John, Peter. We need that. I've said before, we need more elders. Let's pray for them. And don't be slow in speaking to me or to any of the other elders about the possibility of training for the eldership. We need a whole range of men to serve in this capacity, that we might make wise decisions. Listen then to advice. Listen to the advice of many counselors. Thirdly, listen to reproof. Listen to reproof. Chapter 15, verses 31 and 32. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof, will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. You must listen, brothers and sisters. You must listen to reproof. Why? Because you are a sinner. You need to listen to advice because you are a finite creature. You need to listen to reproof because you are a sinful, finite creature. all of us need to be reproved, rebuked, corrected, because we are sinful, finite creatures. The question, though, is this. This is where the rubber hits the road. Do you actually listen to someone when they reprove you for your sin? When someone actually does the hard thing and confronts you with your sin, do you actually listen to them? When they say to you, that thing that you did, you ought not to have done, do you listen to that reproof? Or do you ignore it? Do you laugh it off? Do you become all defensive? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Someone else made me do that. Do you try and justify yourself? It wasn't my fault. It was someone else. Do you retaliate? How dare you reprove me? Look at you. We can be like that. I can be like that. It's not pleasant. It's hard. It's hard to hear reproof. I know. It's hard to be exposed, to have your sin exposed. It's good, it's life-giving reproof, but it is hard. But we should, in this respect, be like David, shouldn't we? He committed a terrible sin, adultery with Bathsheba, ordering the killing of her husband Uriah. And then you know the story of Nathan, the prophet, coming to him, telling him this story about this man who had loads of sheep and cows, and another man who just had a little lamb, and then a visitor comes to town, and this rich man takes this other man's little lamb and sacrifices that. And David is enraged about this and says, that man needs to be punished. And Nathan says, you are that man. You are that man. And David is silenced, as he ought to have been. He had nothing to say. All he said was, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. Psalm 51. He listened to reproof, unlike the Pharisees. Jesus constantly speaking strong words of rebuke and reproof to them. You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. But they were deaf to his reproof. They were so full of themselves, so full of their own wisdom, their own self-righteousness, they did not listen to the Lord of glory. They resisted his words. They stiffened their necks. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. If you stiffen your neck, if you resist reproof, you will all of a sudden be broken. What are you like? I ask you this. I ask myself this. Do you listen, actually listen to reproof, to rebuke, to correction when someone confronts you in your sin? Or do you stiffen your neck? You are a wretched sinner. I am a wretched sinner. We do not know how sinful we are. We just don't. We just do not know how sinful we are. And so we need reproof. I need it. You need it. Let us humbly listen to such reproof. It's life-giving. It is good for you. It exposes the infection of sin that you might, like David, repent and receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Do you know that hell is full of sinners who just never listened? Hell is full of sinners who just shut their ears and did not listen. Listen to advice. Listen to the advice of many. Listen to reproof. And finally, and most importantly, listen to the Lord. Above all else, listen to him. Listen to Christ, your Savior. There is no point listening to advice, listening to the advice of many, listening to reproof even, if you're not also listening to the Lord. by which I mean spending time in his word, Sunday by Sunday, during the week, letting your character be shaped by the wisdom of his word. You must listen to the Lord. The Jesus is, of course, the wisdom of Proverbs. That's what I've tried to emphasize the last couple of sermons. Don't read Proverbs as simply a how-to manual. This is how to be better. There's a sense in which that is true. But as Christians, you must read Proverbs Christianly, which is the right way of reading it. And Proverbs unfolds for us the one who is the very wisdom of God, namely Jesus Christ, wisdom incarnate. And that means, you see, that Jesus himself is the wise listener. Jesus himself is the wise listener. And you ask me, well, how is he the wise listener? He didn't need to listen to advice because he is all wise. He didn't need to listen to reproof because he's sinless. How is Jesus the wise listener? He's the wise listener because he listened to his Father in the days of his flesh. In his incarnate state, he listened to his Father. Let me read this wonderful passage from Isaiah 50. It's one of the servant songs. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." How does he know? Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear. This is Christ speaking. And I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I gave my back to those who strike, my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. That is Jesus Christ speaking. Every morning when our Lord woke up, he listened to the voice of his Father. He opened his ear to the voice of his Father in the scriptures. That is one reason why we read from Luke chapter 2 earlier on, that remarkable episode where the 12-year-old Jesus stays back in Jerusalem and is in the temple, in his Father's house, doing his Father's business, which is what? Listening to the scriptures, being taught and explained and expounded. Here we have the omniscient Son of God in the flesh, and what is he doing? He is listening to the scriptures, listening to that very word that he himself inspired. It's a mystery. Jesus himself knew that he needed to listen, to sit and listen, to inwardly digest the word of God. Why? So that he, in terms of his humanity, so that he might know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Are you weary this morning? I bet most of you, perhaps all of you, are weary this morning. Weary with your sin, your repeated failings. Weary with your foolishness. Weary living in a world that just spouts a cacophony of lies and confusion and nonsense, and you are surrounded by it day after day. Weary with the fact that perhaps you think no one ever listens to you. No one ever pays any attention to you. Are you weary this morning? I bet you are. I bet a lot of you are weary. Jesus knows how to sustain you with a word in your weariness. So go to him. This is amazing. This blows the mind. But he listens to you. Your Father listens to you. It's incredible, isn't it? The God of the universe, the God who made everything, visible and invisible, the God who has no beginning and no end, he listens to you, sinful, frail, finite creatures. What does it matter if no one else listens to you? What does it really matter? The Holy Trinity listens to you. Pour out your soul before him. He inclines his ear to your voice. He listens, and then listen to him. Listen to the voice of him who sustains you with a word. Jesus knows what it's like to be weary. He has entered into your weariness, your frailty. As it says, he gave his back to those who strike, his cheeks to those who pull out the beard. He hid not his face from disgrace and spitting. Jesus knows what it's like to be weary, much more than you ever will. He knows what it's like to suffer. And he learnt by listening to the scriptures how to sustain you with his word. When you are weary, yes, listen to the advice of others, good friends, wise Christians. Listen to their advice, listen to their encouragement, perhaps listen to their reproof. No, always listen to their reproof. But most of all, listen to your Lord. Listen to his word of grace, his word of truth, his word of challenge, his word of comfort, his word of reproof, his word of love. Listen to him. Stop what you are doing. Don't say a word. Sit down in church, at home, and listen to your Saviour speaking to you. And he promises to sustain you with his word. This is how you become wise, by enveloping yourself in Christ, who is the word. By immersing yourself in him. Forget about the nonsense of the world. There is so much nonsense out there. Block your ears to that. Do not listen to that. Listen to Christ as he speaks his word to you. Let us pray. Father, help us to be wise listeners, to listen carefully to advice, to reproof, but most of all to you as you speak your word to us. We pray that we would be deaf to the lies of Satan and to the deceptions of the world. We pray that you would awaken our ears every morning and throughout the day to your beautiful, gracious truth, that we ourselves might be wise listeners and thereby wise men and women of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.